You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday, broadcasting live from the banks of the Potomac River. Yeah. At the Westin in Crystal City. So it's a beautiful place, I think. Got here when it was dark. But good morning to everybody. I have to tell you that I think I should move to the East Coast. Get up at 7:30, you work from your house, you take a shower, yeah, and then you have 2 hours to get ready for the show at 10 o'clock. No wonder Sean Hannity lives on the East Coast. Come on. Although he's a night guy, so he should probably live on the West Coast. Yeah, he could do that earlier in the day. Get home at a reasonable hour. But if you're doing a morning show, yeah, you roll at 10 o'clock, you got everything ready, it all functions, it's all good. So, good morning from cross-country flight. Even had one of the flights give out. We got rerouted through Houston. Let me give you some travel notes. The nicest airport I've ever seen is Houston. Yeah, George Herbert Walker Bush International Airport, I think. And one of the things that you see around the country when you fly is that there's competition for one thing. All right? Tables, two things, and power, electricity. Houston has tables, chairs, and power everywhere. I've never seen anything like it. I'll put a picture up in this hour's post of, between like the terminals, like the areas that you would sit and wait for your plane. And even there, everyone's got a countertop with some kind of either bench seat or a real regular chair. And you can sit there and work or eat, whatever you want to do. And I'd never been there. I'd never been through the airport in Houston. Go figure. Who flies through Houston? Nobody I know. So flew through Houston yesterday. Total fan of the place. And also in Houston, I saw something I'd never seen. And I'll post this picture. I saw a picture of a doggy bathroom. All right. So I'm not sure how that works. Like how do you train your dog? Because if somebody can tell me, then I can teach the two sentry dogs, Jack and Joe. I can teach them to go on command. Go now. Yeah. But I've never seen it work like that. And so we're having problems again today. I don't know why. This is driving me crazy, though. Because we did this last week, and I wasn't real happy about it. So, anyway, if you just missed all of that, I'm moderately irritated. So, good morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio here on a Thursday, broadcasting from the banks of the Potomac River. At the Westin. So, if you just listen to all that silence, about 6 minutes worth, awesome. But anyway, we're here. We're here. So let me tell you what I just said. What I just said was, I'm partial now to doing the program from the East Coast. Maybe I'll move to the corporate headquarters. Because you get up at 7:30, like, you can get a full night's sleep. You don't have to get up at 5. And then you can take a shower, you roll into your office in your home at 8, 2 hours to get ready for the show. That would be akin to me getting up at 4 in the morning, getting in my office at 5, show goes on at 7. That's brutal. So, anywho, I'm not a fan of that. So, but here on the East Coast, you're right in the middle of it. Yeah, the time zone's perfect for doing the show out of your home. You finish the show at 1, wrap a few things up, do a little bit of other stuff, and you get a normal work day. Yeah. The left coast, left coast is better if you're doing an evening program, not a morning program. So, anywho, so that going on, and have not seen the outside, but in Crystal City, and have been here obviously before. When you're stationed here as a lieutenant, you tend to gravitate towards Crystal City because it's got the metro rail here. It's also got the hotels that give good rates to military members. And so staying at the Westin here. And at some point I will see it outside, probably later today, as get ready to go to the Hill Vets Gala tonight. Yeah, in town for that. But I want to talk about the airport in Houston. Yeah, the airport in Houston is legit. Straight up legit. Let me tell you why. So, you get off the plane. I'd never been there. You're walking through the terminal, and there's always competition in the airport for what? First of all, seats near gates. Second of all, if there's any tabletops, and most importantly, electricity. In Houston, it's everywhere. Electricity is everywhere. Tabletops, everywhere. Seats, everywhere. Yeah. Go online and check it out, or you can check out a picture that I'll post. And then the other thing that you have there that I've never seen is a dog bathroom. Now, I don't know how that works. Like, the dog goes in there, and then what happens? So, so we have that going for us today. And, but I have to tell you, I was nothing but impressed with the airport. Nothing but impressed. So, so what are we going to do today on the program? We'll talk about the news. There's a bunch of it, right? Not all of it connected to the Mueller report and the fallout from that. Some interesting theater on Capitol Hill already this morning. Unanimously, the 9 Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee said that the hack that is known as Adam Schiff. Again, you see the sound bites of him, right? All through this investigation and all the stuff he says, and all of a sudden Mueller comes back and says it wasn't there. And that is the game, right? That's the game that gets played. And if you want to play that game, if you want to stake your reputation on that, and if you don't want to be deliberate with your words, if you want to burn it down like that, then to me he should resign. Because the stuff he said, the inflammatory nature of what he said, it was way beyond a search of the truth. And his concerns over certain allegations about the truth. Right? It was way beyond that. So, I think that dude ought to quit. Absolutely, positively ought to quit. And, but he won't. We know that. He won't quit. So, that in the news this morning. The president's told the Russians to get out of enforcing the Monroe Doctrine, right? That we don't want Europe in the Western Hemisphere. That way we can run amok in the Western Hemisphere, although we reserve the right to go anywhere in the world. I'm not exactly how that one stands up, but how we can be in the Ukraine and we tell the Russians, don't come to the Western Hemisphere. So I don't know that it needs to make perfect logical sense. It's just the way we do it. So anyway, so the president did that yesterday, and there's a whole bunch of military news, including a new nominee for the Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Berger. I know General Berger. I met him in Fallujah in 2006. He was the commanding officer of the 8th Marine Regiment, so we met briefly there. And then I got in trouble, and I had to go see him. And then the next time I saw him was when I did post-traumatic winning at the General Officer Symposium, and he was sitting right smack in front of the podium, right of the stage. The first table there, dead center, General Berger. So the end of the whole thing, I looked down and I said, I have one more thing to say before we wrap this up on a personal note. And I looked at him and I said, the last time I saw you, sir, was not a very pleasant experience. I just want to publicly apologize. And he looked at me and smiled and nodded. So, and then he came out in the foyer and, you know, came up to me and shook my hand and said, hey, you're doing good things. Good on your Mac. And we had a nice conversation. I asked him, you know, I said, well, what's next for you? And I had heard that he was going to be nominated to be the commandant. But, you know, he looked at me and said, I'm going to retire. He said, I've run this thing about as far as I can run, and we have land in the western part of Virginia, so probably gonna head out there and gonna start, you know, becoming a civilian. So he said, and so he was talking that. So the nation has other plans for him. He will become the 38th, if confirmed, he will become the 38th commandant of the Marine Corps. And live in the house that Mike and I were at, or near, outside of last week. So, big news, but that's been rumored for a while. So that's in the news today. There's also an expansion to SEAL Team 6 of some war crime stuff. So we've been following that story. So that's in the news. And then we're going to update a story that we did a couple weeks ago. You're going to hear again from a friend of the program, somebody who I've got to know a little bit. Her name is Lee Tuttle, and her husband's a Green Beret. And they're stationed up at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And Lee finds herself in the middle of this housing debate. And we're going to update that story. And I think when you hear it, you'll find it disturbing. Because the takeaway of it is that most of the women that I talk to don't believe that this thing is going the way it should go. They're not comfortable, and they don't feel like the commands on different bases have thrown in with them, which are, you know, the service member, that the commands continue to represent the housing company. So you're going to hear about a whole series of issues. You're going to hear that And I'm going to ask her, because I've heard that the non-disclosure agreements that, you know, we talked about, that people are getting asked to sign, that those non-disclosure agreements have that were called out in a Senate hearing have now morphed, and under a different name, they still exist. So that you call, if you call them for service, you know, on at some places, and Camp Pendleton was one that was mentioned, there's this agreement that you'll sign. And so it's just stupid stuff. And it's surprising in wake of that hearing. So we'll talk to Lee Tuttle and get an update on that story. And then we'll the governor will join us. And we'll get a cabinet update. And so I'm headed for Texas next week. Yeah. Yeah, exciting stuff. So exciting. So we're coming back here in a week. And then in less than a week, and then we'll a week from today, down in Quantico, and we'll be doing that. So, so exciting stuff. And then from Quantico, we'll go down to Texas and spend a couple days in Texas and hopefully do post-traumatic winning twice. I believe as of this morning that got confirmed, or last night that got confirmed. So, my thanks to, the one and only business maven of All Marine Radio and post-traumatic winning, and that is Katie Beasley. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. The other third covered by Katie Beasley. And so helping out another friend, George Mendoza, who's a friend of Mike's down in Granbury. And so going to offer that to the public a couple times here. So exciting stuff. So expeditionary events will continue here. So, good morning to you on this Thursday, the 28th day of March, in case you're looking at your calendar. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to Adam Schiff, with the hope that Adam, do the right thing, right? When you burn it down like that, then do the rest of us a favor, because obviously you're not in search of the truth, right? To me, it's disgustingly reminiscent of somebody who I don't care one bit for, and that is the one and only Harry Reid. So this is dedicated to Adam Schiff. It's from all of us who served, to you, Mr. Schiff. And here's with the thought that maybe you'll do the right thing. Maybe your political hack of an ass and your lack of living up to your oath to support and defend the Constitution, right? Maybe you who exploit that kind of stuff, maybe you should do the right thing and quit as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. So here's to that thought.
We are proud to play the know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We'll look at the temperatures right now. Currently in the Quantico area, where I'm a little bit north of, it is 70 degrees. I'm 70 degrees. It's sunny in 46. At Camp Lejeune, it's sunny in 56 down the coast. In Granbury, Texas, I flew over Granbury yesterday. Cloudy in 61, 29 Palms, sunny in 50, Pendleton, clouds in 51, Okinawa's dark cloudy in 75, so getting warm in the western Pacific, Vermont is cloudy in 67, so warmer there, and in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it's warmer yet, it is dark cloudy in 77, so Afghanistan heating up, at the home of All Marine Radio. At the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, literally the corporate headquarters. 57 degrees under cloudy skies. Looking for a high today in Southern California of 67. On Friday, 69 degrees. On Saturday, 77. And the rumor has it that on Sunday, it'll be in the 80s. So that is a look at your weather here. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check these headlines, and there's a ton of news, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Mentioned Colleen. The aforementioned Colleen is she is Colleen is in Sacramento this week. And she is up there doing some kind of medical thing that the state puts on up there in California, and so she got on a bus yesterday to head up to Sacramento. And so being a young medical professional, Colleen, it's kind of interesting in high school when they do this. I can't remember what the program is called, but they have to wear slacks and some kind of coat. Yeah. They have to dress like professionals. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty interesting to watch. And so there it goes. The all right. We're in six of these headlines now. And then at the top of the hour, Lee Tuttle's gonna join us. You met Lee before, so you'll hear from her. But much in the news, no story for people that are interested in the Marine Corps is the president has nominated Lieutenant General David H. Berger to be the next commandant of the Marine Corps. So he's a former reconnaissance Marine, along with being a lot of other things. He will go to the Senate. Actually went to the Senate 2 days ago. The final confirmation from the Senate, Berger will pin on his 4-star and become the Marine Corps' 38th Commandant. Former Infantry Platoon Commander and a Reconnaissance Marine, currently the Commander of Marine Corps Combat Development Command in Quantico, Virginia. And it talks about what's in front of General Berger. General Neller's, you know, principal contribution as a commandant is, I think, will be known as, you know, in the area of social media that he had to confront relative to the Marines United stuff, where he took all those face shots and then told the Senate Armed Service Committee that the Marine Corps would fix it, and that he would lead that. And so that, and really his task after Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom, was to go ahead and restore the operating capacity and restore the infrastructure of the Marine Corps, which had been rode hard and put away wet. You know, we had literally flown our fixed-wing inventory into the ground. For a variety of reasons, some of them we've discussed on this program, So General Miller presided over a lot of his tenure, a Marine Corps that, you know, a lot of people will tell you our aviation component was non-combat effective. You know, the over 50% of the aircraft could not get into the air because of maintenance issues and so all that. So General Miller's job was to restore that, and the Marine Corps is on its way to doing that. So General Berger will face a separate series of challenges. The KC, our heavy lift helicopter, the CH-53 Kilo, is coming to market, right? Long-range fires and the expeditionary operation, you know, that we've talked about on this program with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Como, you know, in a fight that with the Chinese, that can you get people into the theater? How do you do that? Right? So somebody's got to take a hard look at that, and how do we do that? If you say we can, how do we do it? Does that mean you got to poke out everybody's eyes? All the satellites have to go? Because you can't have shipping, right, with divisions of soldiers and Marines and their equipment getting sunk at sea. So the argument is it's already got to be there, and that would be a Marine Corps function, right? We've already done it to a certain extent in rotational base at Darwin in Australia. They're already there in Okinawa. We're not there in the Philippines. So they're, I would say, look for the United States to negotiate some kind of base treaty in the region with somebody. All right? So all those things wait for General Berger. And then the article in Marine Corps Times talks about his commands. Regimental Combat Team 8 in Fallujah, Iraq, as a colonel. In 2012, so he preceded us at Regimental Combat Team 5. We got there in February in 2006, and Regimental Combat Team 8 was just leaving. So they spent 2005 in Fallujah. So he did that as a colonel. And then the year after we came back from Afghanistan, he commanded the 1st Marine Division in Afghanistan. So he went from there to command 1MAF, where I crossed paths with him. And then out to be a Marine Force Pacific Command commanding officer. He's graduate of Army Ranger School, Jump Master School, Navy Dive School, Marine Corps Amphibious Reconnaissance School. So, his next set of the article points out that the next commandant of the Marine Corps will be dual cool, which is both scuba and jump qualifier. So congratulations to General Berger. I met his son, came up at when we were doing post-traumatic winning last week, and he had a similar experience to that I had relative to that helicopter crash, and so he came up and introduced himself to Mike, and then Mike introduced him to me. Seems to be just a great young Marine officer, and so nice to meet him. So congratulations to General Berger. He's kind of a quiet guy, and next story is kind of a clickbait headline. A bride kicked a Marine out of her wedding for wearing his dress blues. Now, if there was ever an article that begged to be clicked on for Marines, what? And its story centers around a bride who was offended that this Marine, who got invited to a 300-person wedding, so a hoity-doity wedding, right, and wore his dress blues. And the invitation said formal wear was appropriate. Obviously, she doesn't know that, you know, dress uniforms equate to formal wear. Her opinion was he was taking attention away from her. So she asked him to leave the wedding. So again, under the guise of ignorance, I remember my mother, summoned me to to go to an event. The last time, you know, she and I ever went anywhere together, out anyway, she calls me and she says, Michael, I said, yes, Mom. She says, I want you to be my escort at my niece's cotillion in Indianapolis. Right. It's like a, so the cotillion is the equivalent a few years later of the Hispanic quinceañera. Right. So kind of your coming out event. Anywho, my mom, Kathleen calls me, Corporal Punishment Kathleen calls me, and she said, I want you to be my escort. I said, okay, when is it? She said, it's December 23rd. And I was out at Camp Pendleton, my family was in North Dakota, and I sighed and I went, I said, Mom, I'm going home for Christmas, and the only way that I'll come is if you'll pay for Colleen to come. And, cause I'm not gonna go home and then not be with my kids, right? And I said, and maybe Catherine too, if Catherine can come. Well, Catherine was working and couldn't come. So, but Colleen did. In fact, I have a picture of Colleen wearing my dress cover in the gift shop of the Indianapolis airport at about 5:40 in the morning. So what Colleen and I did was we flew to Indianapolis at, I don't know, in the morning, got off the plane. We went to the cotillion that night. Colleen went and got manicures and pedicures with my sisters. And then I went to the cotillion with my mother. But the reason I tell you all this story is to tell you this. So my mom says to me, she says, it's a formal event. I said, okay. She said, and you know that your dress uniform is appropriate for social events. I already checked. I said, what? She said, yes, I want you to wear your uniform. I said, okay. Are my sisters wearing their wedding dresses? She says, no, they could never fit into those. I said, okay. And she says, but you're okay with that? I said, as long as you fly Colleen. She said, I'll do that. So fly Colleen she did, and went off. But Maureen got kicked out of the wedding for wearing this uniform. The bride just didn't know. And then you see, there's comments to it, the article, and those people don't know either. So it's like, you should check with the bride to make sure that it's okay. Did I wear my uniform? Yeah, I don't know. Why does that bother me? Retired Marine Commandant Charles Krulak is in the news. Quote, Marines must be willing to look foolish for innovation to occur, says retired Commandant General Krulak. Now, the Krulak family, very much involved in, you know, in innovation in the Marine Corps. He got interviewed by Marine Corps Times. People have to be willing to take risks to look foolish in a crowd, he said. The Marine Corps has never been unwilling to look foolish in a crowd. He was the recipient of the Navy Cross in World War II. His father was. But he was pivotal in the development of Higgins boats and other landing craft that went ashore in World War II. So the Krulak family is no stranger to innovation. So interesting little interview with him. That is in the news. There was one other story. I guess all the rest is covered in Early Bird, so that's why I broke it up this morning. Top five stories in Early Bird this morning. Number one, war crimes case expanded to SEAL Team 6. Now, this is a story that people keep trying to make go away, but it doesn't. Despite a Lowland court-martial proceeding against Naval Special Warfare Operator Chief Edward Gallagher for allegedly stabbing to death an Islamic State prisoner, the case has expanded to target members of SEAL Team 6. Remember I told you about flipping rocks in the Special Operations Community? search warrant documents and email messages from Naval Criminal Investigative Service agents leaked to Navy Times reveal the seizure of cell phones and electronic communications beginning in early February, allegedly to prove that Gallagher urged fellow SEALs at the Naval Special Warfare Development Group, DEVGRU as it's known, to obstruct justice or to retaliate against junior sailors who ratted him out for war crimes. The documents and emails appear to support a theory put forward by Gallagher's defense attorneys that military prosecutors are going after what they call mean girls clique of special operators. They suspect prosecutors are trying to prove collusion between Gallagher and other SEAL leaders at California's Naval Base Coronado. Investigators appear to want to perform forensic examination on the phones or otherwise track the communications to see if SEAL Team 7 Gallagher's conversed with his peers at Dev Group about retaliating against people that were being witnesses for NCIS. Somebody who's appeared on the program a few times, Colby Volkey. Gallagher's trial initially was slated to begin in February, but the military judge hearing his case postponed it after Stackhouse and his civilian co-counsel, Colby Volkey, complained 6 days earlier that prosecutors had sprung reams of evidence on them that they hadn't had time to analyze. So the trial has been, the court-martial has been delayed. So again, you know, this story that the Navy certainly wants to go away isn't going away. All right? It's not going away. Number two in the early bird this morning, a palpable air of calm along the DMZ, but growing concerns about rising regional rivals. U.S. military's top officer in South Korea told lawmakers Wednesday that there was a air of calm on the peninsula, but other officials warned that communist Pyongyang, North Korea, failed to follow through on efforts to make peace permanent. So I guess nothing's changed. Even though there might be less tension along the DMZ, there's still the tension that goes with this period of uncertainty. Is North Korea really interested in denuking itself, as their leader says he is? Will North Korea make a deal with the United States, South Korea, Japan? Relative to that, and China always looming in the background. So, again, not much has changed on the Korean Peninsula. Although, again, I said this before, you know, Donald Trump, you know, people, you know, have taken, you know, all kinds of shots at him. But, you know, the bottom line is the situation relative to North Korea is not as bad as it was. So, I guess you play it sideways before it gets better, hopefully. But you keep your fingers crossed. At least it's better than it was. Next story, number three. It's about Patrick Shanahan. There are going to be consequences. Shanahan prepares for congressional pushback to reprogramming funds. So, Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan, under the guise of military funds designed for counter-narcotics, which could be a global mission, right? Those funds have been used to provide funding for the wall along the southwest border, right? $1 billion, right? The House Armed Service Committee did not concur with that recommendation. So what they expect to do is the House to attempt to strip the department of its ability to reprogram funds in the future. The money was transferred to the Corps of Engineers on Tuesday night. Pentagon Comptroller David Norquist told the House Budget Committee on Wednesday morning. Norquist, who is also acting deputy defense secretary, said, quote, they can put it under contract if the contracts are ready. So anyway, the consequences, right? Shanahan says, we're following the law, doing what the president wants him to do. We're very sensitive to the consequences of these kind of actions and the relationship we've built up over time. But I don't know. I mean, the House cannot unilaterally strip the DOD of the ability to do that. I don't think, right? So no matter what the House wants to do, if they would have to pass legislation that would do that. So, we'll follow that because it's interesting. It's a constitutional question. Congress has the power of the perks, and Congress can decide whether to strip the DOD of that authority. But when Congress is half controlled by the Senate, I mean by the Republicans, you know, they can, Adam Smith can yell about whatever he wants. It's not happening. Yesterday in a ceremony at the White House, the President presented the Medal of Honor to the son of an Army Staff Sergeant who died protecting soldiers. And Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins, we talked about it yesterday, with the 10th Mount Division, wrestled a suicide bomber in Iraq to the ground. And what the Medal of Honor citation cites is that as they're wrestling, he feels the best underneath his garments. And as he feels the best, he then pulls the guy to him and gets his body between, you know, him, the bomber on the ground, and the and his fellow soldiers. And that was a deliberate act. And so it's taken 10 years for this thing to happen. But his son, Trevor, who's 22 years old, told a packed room at the White House that while he took great pride in receiving the medal on behalf of his fathers, it was the words and stories that his fellow soldiers told of his father's service, friendship, and leadership that he would value, that he has come to value in the days leading up to this. Quote, "Everything that you have said to me over the last few days has meant the world to me. Dad always had the funniest stories about you guys. I feel so close to you and to him with every story I hear." And one of the things that does happen on these events is, you know, people are brought to the ceremony that you would probably normally not have a chance to interact with. And so his son will get a chance to meet those guys, to be in their company, and most importantly, to go ahead and hear all those stories that he would not normally hear. So that's long overdue and wonderful. So congratulations to the family, and just obviously a tragic when we lose anybody, but story ultimately turns out at least making it better. I guess that's as much as you can do. Well, the last thing I want to talk about is something I saw this morning. I initially saw it in a UK newspaper, the headline. But the British government said that there were fundamental security defects in Huawei communications. Huawei, but it's Huawei. The United States indicted the CEO of Huawei, what, a month or two ago? I think in January. And so she was in Canada at the time. So she's been released and I guess waiting to go to trial. So this story out of the UK, a British government review of Huawei found significant, that's in quotes, security problems with the Chinese company's telecommunications equipment, a conclusion that supports a United States effort to ban it from next-generation wireless networks. The British report, released on Thursday, said there were underlying defects in Huawei's software engineering and security processes that governments or independent hackers could exploit, posing risks to national security. While the report did not call for an outright ban of Huawei equipment, it was endorsed by the country's top cybersecurity agencies. These conclusions buttress the Trump administration's push to convince its allies that Huawei, the world's largest maker of telecommunications equipment, creates grave risks for national security. The White House has accused Huawei of being an arm of the Chinese government, that can be used for spying or to sabotage communication networks, a charge that Huawei has vehemently denied. So the American push is to ban Huawei, and the accusation is that, like in all totalitarian states, they don't do anything, right, that's not approved by the state. And having a huge say in that, are the intelligence services of those countries. The United States has tried to convince the rest of the Western world that this is the right thing to do. Now, mind you, if you do that, you run into problems with the Chinese. And then the Chinese begin to stop allowing you to sell into their market that nations love to do because all boats rise, right, with the demand of China, depending on your industry. So, again, there is a natural reluctance because of the way China uses its economy. So the story goes on. It's in the New York Times. The American push has run into hurdles. Many countries, including Britain, have resisted the American effort to ban Huawei, arguing that the risks can be mitigated. So, again, these are things sewn into the infrastructure that would allow Chinese intelligence services, because they're created with their input, to go in and use these to go ahead and listen and exploit those communication systems for their own advantage. So, United States is interested in keeping Huawei out of the 5G network that will run digitized global communications and therefore the digitized global economy. So, just a couple of interesting things in the report. The British report highlights broader challenges facing many countries. While Huawei products may pose cybersecurity risks, the company is a key provider of the equipment needed to build 5G networks. If the countries issue an outright ban, they could face costly delays in adopting the technology that not only will increase the download speeds of mobile phones, but is expected to create breakthroughs in manufacturing, transportation, and healthcare. And Huawei is already a central part of many countries' telecommunication networks, making a ban logistically difficult. So, these are the countries that want to continue to use Huawei's equipment while attempting to limit it with like software fixes, right? Germany, India, UAE are among the most significant countries that are likely to not follow the American lead banning Huawei's 5G equipment. So anyway, pretty interesting story that I think merits following. All right, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk to Lee Tuttle about and get an update on the military housing issue that has been so prominent in the news over the course of the last couple of months. And again, I talked a little bit earlier. We'll get an update from Lee on what's going on. You've seen a lot of stuff initially said, but like these things tend to go. Boom, there's an initial explosion, and then what happens? Then there's all this outrage. How could this happen? And then what will happen is these companies, these corporations, there's a playbook that goes with this, right? Go to ground, shut up, the outrage will disappear, and when the outrage will disappear, we will deal with the few people that take us to court, and we'll string that along until we financially break them and they stop. And that's, you know, the playbook. We will play this thing, you know, sideways through committees, and the changes that ultimately get enacted will be marginal. Because we have deep pockets, and we can do that. And that tends to be the way these things go. So, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And then the next question is, will they make whole the people that have been damaged financially having to deal with this? Somebody just sent me a link. Hey, Mac, what about this? One of former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis's top aides is planning a tell-all book on the well-known military leader's time in President Donald Trump's administration, promising revelations that may alarm readers. The effort, first reported by NBC News this past Tuesday, will be authored by former Mattis speechwriter Guy Snodgrass and will be titled Holding the Line, Inside Trump's Pentagon with General Mattis, and is scheduled for publication this fall. Quote, I was at the Defense Secretary's side for 17 crucial months of the Trump presidency. I saw how our men and women in uniform worked tirelessly to carry out their duties and the Defense Department's mission. I want to share this story with readers. I'll tell you this. You don't see people too close to that guy writing tell-alls. You just don't see it. Anyway, we'll take a break. More of Online Radio coming up next. When we come back, you're going to hear from Lee Tuttle. So don't touch her dial. She's an interesting woman and is in the process of organizing and doing a lot of stuff to help families. And the question is, how far is this going to go? Is this going to be one of those things where we express outrage at the start, and then the longer this thing goes, then it sputters out, and then you're left to deal with a company that has damaged you financially or physically on your own? And that tends to be the way the DOD does this. So we'll see what Lee has to say. So always interesting. Don't touch that dial. More Bombing Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.